Good morning. If you would turn in your copy of God's Word to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, we will cover verses 12 through 19. As you turn there, I will ask God's blessing upon our time in His Word. Father, we thank You that in love You sent Your Son, who became a man and died in the place of all of His people. Lord, we also thank You that His death satisfied the penalty of sin. We thank You that He not only died, but that He also rose from the grave, so that those of us who have placed our trust in Him may know that we have been forgiven and we have eternal life. I pray now that, God, You would help us to believe that Christ rose from the dead, to believe what the Apostle Paul has written under the inspiration of Your Holy Spirit, and that, Lord, we would live in light of that belief. It's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen. As you're able, please stand in the honor of reading God's Word. Verses 12 through 19 of chapter 15. Paul writes, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we hope in this life only, we are of all people the most to be pitied." But go ahead and read verse 20 with me before you sit down. "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." May God bless the reading and hearing of His Word. You may be seated. Most of you, I believe it is safe to assume, have heard about the resurrection. Most of you have heard what took place on Good Friday. Most of you have heard about the betrayal that took place before that. You heard about the garden where Jesus sweat drops of blood, anticipating His crucifixion. You've heard about the Last Supper. You've heard about when Christ was tortured. Or maybe you've watched a movie about it. When Christ was tortured, when He was whipped, when He was eventually crucified on that cross that He was forced to carry, where He died. Then you likely have heard that on the third day that Jesus rose from the dead. He had been laid in a tomb. All of His disciples had been scattered. They were terrified. They were in shock that the one who they had followed for years was gone. But then they heard from women who had visited the tomb. The tomb was empty. And Peter was so excited, he ran immediately to it. He and John, and guess what? They discovered also that the tomb was empty. And we read in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11, that not only was the tomb empty, but that Jesus rose bodily from the dead, and he appeared to several people. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to the 12. He appeared to over 500 people, and he appeared to the Apostle Paul. They witnessed him after the resurrection. And then we read in the book of Acts that not only did Jesus rise from the dead and dwell on earth, but he ascended to the right hand of God where he now reigns. And Paul writes 1 Corinthians 15 with all those facts in mind. That Jesus not only died on the cross, he did that. That Jesus not only paid for sin, he did that. But that he also rose from the dead and he is alive. So that, for example, when we pray, as the author of Hebrews writes, that we pray through the mediation of the Son, of Jesus. We pray through Jesus to the Father. Jesus is alive. That's what we read. And yet, apparently, there were some in Corinth that had rejected resurrection altogether. Resurrection of the body was not a thing they believed was necessary. And yet, almost all of them, or at least it seems as we read our passage, did accept the fact that Jesus did rise from the dead. And the Apostle Paul is about to show them how foolish and inconsistent that belief is. Because not only did Jesus rise from the dead, not only did Jesus ascend to the right hand of God, but Jesus rose from the dead in such a way that he would also share that life, that resurrection, with his people. So as we go through this passage, the question answers, or the question that Paul answers is, what hope do we have if there is no resurrection? What hope do we have if there is no resurrection? As those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, if he did not rise from the dead, what hope do we have? Paul's answer is very simply, without the resurrection, we have no hope. Without the resurrection, there is no hope. Period. There's no hope for those who have trusted in Christ. There's no hope for those who don't believe. There's just no hope. And I want to draw 6 points very quickly from this passage and how Paul shows that without the resurrection, we have no hope. Number one, without the resurrection, we have no hope because Christ wouldn't have risen. Look at verses 12 through 13. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. Now, you don't have to take a class and logic to follow what Paul is saying here. He's saying, if, very matter-of-factly, if there is no such thing as resurrection, then how could you possibly say that Jesus was resurrected? He's saying you can't. It's like saying, like, imagine with me for a moment. I should have brought a prop. Imagine I had a bottle of water, and I said something so profound. I'm like, you know, the water in this bottle is wet. You'd be like, yeah. And then the next phrase I said, but all other water is not wet. Could I say those two things? Now you're thinking I'm just saying something ridiculous. What does water have to do with this? The point is very simple. Those phrases cannot be held together. It's completely irrational to accept that Jesus has risen from the dead and then outright deny that resurrection is possible or happens. Paul has just said that Jesus rose from the dead. We know what he believes. But he's saying, you foolish Corinthians, what's wrong with you people? You deny the resurrection. Now, those of us who are in Christ, now if you're not a believer, I have no reason to believe that you would believe in the resurrection, and that's on you. But if you are a believer, I'm guessing that you believe in resurrection. But most often when you talk to Christians about the afterlife, they speak about what immediately happens after you die. So when we die, the spirit departs to be with the Lord, right? The body remains. And most Christians, I think, assume that that's the way it's going to be for all eternity. That we will remain in some sort of disembodied state forever. But as we read Scripture, we read that that's just a temporary state. That when Christ returns, our spirit will be reunited with a raised and glorified body. That we will gain a resurrection body like the body that Christ had when he rose from the dead. A body that is no longer affected by the curse of the fall. A body that won't get sick. A body that won't get sore. A body that won't fall apart on us as we age. We will gain a perfect resurrection body. And not only that, everything will be glorified. We will no longer be able to sin. Because we won't want to sin, because our desires have been so fundamentally changed. They have been renewed. So I think that some of us might be able to relate to the Corinthians in the fact that we don't often think about beyond what happens when we die. Christ is coming back. Christ is coming back, and one of the hopes for Christians is that we too will rise from the dead like Jesus, which is a beautiful promise to believe. But if resurrection doesn't happen, if that's not something that actually takes place, then we would have to wrestle with the fact that Jesus himself didn't rise from the dead, and that's what Paul is saying here. The next point is, without the resurrection, we have no hope, so preaching and faith are vain. Look at verses 14 through 16. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. So if there is no resurrection, then what I'm doing right now is vain. What you believe is vain. It's meaningless. If Christ did not rise from the dead, it's all meaningless. It matters not. It's like vapor. It's here one moment and then it goes away. That's what Paul is getting at. If we do not believe the resurrection, then we have believed something that is entirely vain. And it's interesting that three of the gospel accounts go to great length to record the events of the resurrection. Why? So that we might believe it. So that we might believe that Jesus has risen from the dead. Because Jesus' work was not only to die for sin, it was to defeat sin. And to defeat the consequence of sin. Which is what? Death. For the wages of sin is death. That's the punishment for sin. Death would not exist if sin had not entered the world. But death does exist. And we would have quite a puny Savior if that Savior could not even defeat death. But he did. And we read about that over and over and over again, that Christ was not only humiliated in the crucifixion, but he also was exalted victoriously in resurrection. That he is the winner who defeats death and Satan. He is victorious. And if that's not the Christ that you preach, then you preach a false Christ, one, and you give people no hope. Nothing to hope in. But Paul goes on. I want to get ahead of myself. The third point is, without resurrection, we have no hope because we remain dead in sin. Look at verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Very straightforward. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then your sins have not been forgiven. Then Christ was just another man that died. He was just another liar or a lunatic. If he didn't rise from the dead, your sins would have not been forgiven. If Christ did not raise from the dead, you have no hope. The next point is, without resurrection, we have no hope, and the dead have perished. Look at verse 18. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. We all have loved ones who have died. We all have friends who have passed away. Some of us have had children pass away. If there is no resurrection, then they too died in vain. They're gone. If there is no resurrection, they're no more. You will not see them again. There is no hope without the resurrection, whether it be for us who live now or for our loved ones who have passed away. Now, even up to this point, we haven't even gotten to the end. You can tell that in Paul's thinking, it's clear that the resurrection is non-negotiable. It is something that must be embraced. It is something that must be believed. So that when, for example, Muslims deny the crucifixion and therefore deny the resurrection, they have no hope. They have no Savior. They have nothing. If Christ did not rise from the dead, there is no hope. Without resurrection, we have no hope. The fifth point is, without resurrection, we have no hope and are pitiable people. And are pitiable people. Look at verse 19. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Why would Paul say something like this? I mean, most of you in this room are doing pretty well. You may reject what I'm saying there, but I mean, in the grand scheme of things, comparatively to the rest of the world, most of us here are doing all right. But Paul says something pretty profound here, that if Christ did not rise from the dead, then we, that is Christians, are the people to be most pitied. And the reason Paul would say something like that is because in Paul's experience, and in common experience throughout the world, Christians suffer for being Christians. I mean, consider Paul. He was imprisoned numerous times. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was whipped with a cat of nine tails, having his flesh torn more than once. Why? Merely because he followed Jesus and he sought to tell others to follow Jesus. Many of the people that Paul wrote to were suffering as Christians. I mean, the book of Revelation is not Paul, that's John, but when John wrote it, he wrote to a group of people who were suffering. And one of his motivations for writing it is so that the people who heard it and read it would be blessed. They'd be encouraged by the message that they find within it, that Jesus Christ is victorious. That the suffering they now endure will one day come to an end. And if Christ did not rise from the dead, then all of that would be false. We wouldn't need the book of Revelation. In fact, the book of Hebrews wouldn't make very much sense if Jesus did not rise from the dead, because we would not have an intercessor. If we worshiped a dead Savior, we would be just worshiping another guy. We would be people who are pitiful. There are many in this world atheists and people in higher echelons, people who deem themselves the intellectuals of our age, who look at Christians, they look at our gathering, they look at our beliefs, and they mock us. Now, most of you aren't exposed to this literature. They're very angry people, most of them. But they mock our beliefs. And you know what? If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, they'd be right. We are pitiful fools if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. What we learn in 1 Corinthians 15 is that without the resurrection, we have no hope. But thank God that God inspired Paul not to stop at verse 19. If there is no resurrection, we have no hope. But the final point is, Jesus did in fact rise from the dead. If there is no resurrection, we have no hope. But Jesus did rise from the dead. He did. Look at verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. And it gets even better. Not only did Christ raise from the dead, but continue. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. What is Paul saying here? He's saying not only did Christ die and raise from the dead, he's saying Christ is the first fruits, implying what? That there will be second and third fruits. That there will be more. That this occurrence of resurrection, it doesn't just stop with Christ. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn. He is the first to rise from the dead in a resurrected and glorified body. And he shares that resurrection power with all who trust in him. So that those of us, when we face death, and we will, we can know that even if we die, it is not the end. Even if we die a painful, excruciating death, that death is not the end of us. Because when Christ returns, we will raise from the dead like he rose from the dead. And no, it will not be like the walking dead. Now, I'll confess, I'm a fan of zombie shows. And many of them make this parallel, like maybe we misinterpreted Revelation and this is Revelation. No, that's not the way it's going to be. We will be raised in a way that Jesus Christ himself was raised, with a body that is imperishable, undefiled, unaffected, unencumbered by all the effects of the fall. Therefore, we are not the people to be most pitied. We are people who have experienced grace upon grace. We can rightly be called the most blessed. But there's also something else that's true. If Christ did rise from the dead and you have not hoped in him, then you are the person to be most pitied. Because when Jesus comes back, all people will rise, but not all will dwell with him on the new earth. For the wicked who have rejected him, he will cast into the lake of fire for judgment for all eternity. Jesus rose from the dead. He is king over all things. When he came to his disciples after the resurrection, Matthew records that they were worshiping, but some of them were afraid. Now, what were they afraid of? It doesn't really say. Him, likely. And when he gets up to them, before he tells them to go make disciples of all the nations, what does he tell them? He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." What is there outside of Jesus' authority? Anything? I mean, you could name something, and if you did name it, you'd be wrong. There's nothing outside of his authority. Nothing. Life and death belong to him. He is king over all things. And then he tells them to go and make disciples. And he doesn't leave it at that. He also says at the end that not only am I king over everything, and not only am I commissioning you, but I will also be with you to the end of the age, to when he comes back, to when he raises us from the dead. See, what we learn from Paul here, as we learn in the book of Hebrews that we've been going through, is we don't worship a dead Savior. We don't follow a dead Savior. Our Christ is not still on the cross. Our Christ is not still in the grave. Our Christ was not defeated by the most powerful government system of that day. He was not defeated by Rome. He was not defeated by sin. He was not defeated by Satan. No. He faced them head on and beat them all. See, as the Christians would say back then, Caesar was not Lord, but Jesus is Lord. In the same way, we would say there is no other Lord other than Christ Jesus. He is the defeater of death. He is the killer of death. That's the Savior that I follow. That's the Savior that we claim to follow. And if we really do believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, if we really believe that he ascended to the right hand of God, if we really believe that he will come back and raise all of us from the dead, we have no excuse to disobey him. Because Paul, in 2 Corinthians, the next letter to the Corinthians, he talks at length about why he and his companions don't lose heart, about why they can remain bold even though they face persecution. And you know why that is? It's because they know that they too will rise from the dead like Christ rose from the dead. They know that the sufferings that they now experience, they will give way to glory that lasts forever. That's why Paul could say such things as, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." Meaning that if I'm allowed to live, I'm going to keep preaching Christ and obeying Christ. And if you kill me, so what? Because I gain everything in death. You can't kill a people finally and totally who Jesus is just going to raise from the dead. We worship a resurrected Savior. So my encouragement to you, Vista Baptist Church, obey him in your everyday life. Do what he asks you to do, even if there are consequences like suffering. Tell other people about Jesus. Tell them about how he is Lord, how he lived a holy life, and they don't. How he died on the cross, bearing the wrath of God for sins like theirs. And how he rose from the grave, and how he ascended to the right hand of God, and now how he is reigning, and how he deserves their allegiance. And how if they don't give it to him, he will wreck them when he gets back. This is not the sissified Jesus that you see on TV. The one we read about in Revelation that has eyes that glow and a sword protruding from his mouth and will judge the nations and put Satan to flight, but with words. We worship an exalted Savior, not a weak and dead one. Yes, he died, but he rose again. And he shares that resurrection with people like you and me. So long as we trust in him and rely on him, we are not people to be pitied. We are people who are extremely blessed. This is why we gather on the Lord's Day. Because it is the day that Jesus rose from the dead. It is the day that the new creation broke into the old. The old creation that was fallen, dying, decaying. A new creation had entered when Christ rose from the dead. And when we believe in the Lord Jesus, we no longer belong to the old, but belong to the new. And the new will win out. And the new will last forever. Jesus rose from the dead, and he will come back. What happens if there is no resurrection? We have no hope. But Jesus rose from the dead, and there is a resurrection. So we have hope everlasting. That's what we learn from Paul. Do you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Do you believe that prior to rising from the dead, that he in fact died for your sins? Then you, if you do believe those things, you are most blessed for sure. Jesus rose from the dead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for sending your Son to die in our place. Lord, I pray that you would be with each person here, that the words that were spoken would not fall on deaf ears, that they would not be hearers of your word only, but that they would believe it and that they would obey it. I pray that as a church corporately, that we would grow in our faith and be strengthened on our faith and our confidence in the fact that Jesus has been risen from the dead and that he will share that resurrection with us. Father, I pray that you would help us to be faithful. And if there be any in here who are not followers of the Lord Jesus, I pray that you would draw them by the powerful work of your Spirit, that you would regenerate them, that you would bring them to new life and saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that God, they too would know the hope of resurrection. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.